Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. World Youth Day was originally established by Pope John Paul II in 1986 as a global event to reach out to the youth of the world. His goal was to bring together young Catholics from around the globe to celebrate, and so they could learn about their faith on a more regular basis. And World Youth Day 2008 in Sydney, Australia, attracted hundreds of thousands of youth from almost every country on the planet and saw pilgrims from all continents participate in the events. An estimated 400,000 pilgrims attended the Holy Mass celebrated by Pope Benedict XVI on Sunday, July 20, 2008, which was the largest single gathering of human beings in one place in Australia's history. Join us as we look back on World Youth Day 2008 and discuss the role the church plays in the complex lives of today's youth with Mike Hayes, author of Googling God and managing editor of BustedHalo.com, and last year's recipient of the Cardinal Bernardin New Leadership Award, David Golomboski. You're listening to Voices of Our World. At World Youth Day 2008, participants experienced the way life is lived in Australia and shared a cross-cultural faith experience. Ask anyone who's been to a World Youth Day, and they will tell you it is an adventure you will never forget. Young people of every race and nation contributing to the living church of the new millennium, standing side by side and dreaming a dream of peace and unity for a new world. The theme of World Youth Day 2008 was Acts. Chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness. Our first guest was lucky enough to attend World Youth Day 2008 in Sydney. Mike Hayes is the managing editor of the online magazine BustedHalo.com and author of a fascinating new book titled Googling God. Our producer, Michael Ramadan Jones, recently sat down with him for an interview.
Well, I'm here with an old friend and a new author, Mike Hayes of Busted Halo. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
Now, before we get into your website and some of your other accomplishments, you just got back from World Youth Day in Australia.
I did. And let me tell you, this is the second World Youth Day I've been to. I was in Toronto a number of years ago. And I thought Sydney was just a wonderful place to have World Youth Day. I mean, one, because it really gave me that idea of pilgrimage. We really went to the ends of the earth. but it was just wonderful. The people in Sydney were very hospitable and really showed people a good time. I kind of feel about World Youth Day the same way I feel about the Olympics. Love it. Great event. I never want it to come to my city. it's just, you know, it really inconveniences people, I think. But it's really a wonderful event.
What did you come away with after those two 20-hour flights?
I think a couple of things. Number one was you really get a sense of the global church, that all these people were there. You know, over 400,000 people were there. You get a sense of that just alone, that all these people are here and they're Catholic. But then the second thing is that all these people are here, they're Catholic, and they're all dealing with different things in their parts of the world. I talked to a couple of young people from Kenya for Busted Halo, and one of the things that they said that's always been part of their life in the church has been dealing with the experience of HIV and AIDS. That not only do they have friends and relatives who have HIV and AIDS and just the emotional toil it takes on them, but also the financial toil it takes on not just their families, but also their communities who have rallied around them and helped them, and the church has been such a big part of that for them. So they really see that as an integral part of their faith, that they really need to go out there and help people who are suffering from that disease. And that's always been part of their life as young people. Man, we think we have problems in the United States.
Exactly. Did you come away with hope? Do you feel that this next generation of youth, were they hopeful about conquering these, whether it be AIDS or human trafficking or immigration? Or did you sense a sense of hopelessness or hopefulness there?
I think hopefulness. One of the things that was talked about throughout all of World Youth Day was care for the environment. It was a big message from everybody. All the bags were biodegradable, and saw a lot of young people. I mean, World Youth Day gets to be really messy, to be honest, because it's 400,000 people in Randwick Racetrack in Sydney. Everywhere you look is garbage. And I saw a good deal of young people going out there and really trying to pick up and saying, you know, we gave you these biodegradable bags for a reason, people. You know, you should take these and, you know, get rid of your garbage and keep the bags and, you know, use them 20,000 times between now and, the, you know, and the end of your life. And so, that, I mean, I think that was one really big thing. I mean, and two, I think the sense that they are part of a church that does speak to the relevance of their life, that they find things are... that the church is really speaking to their everyday life experience, and they want to be able to share that with others, that the church is not some, you know, old, ancient, archaic, out-of-touch institution, but that it has given value to their lives.
As an American Catholic, did you feel a particular responsibility to share what may be a particular American Catholic message, or did you feel more of a global community there?
Yeah, I think I felt a little more of a global community, except for one point. This is the first time in the history of World Youth Day that the United States did a mass just for the United States pilgrims at the Domain, which is sort of like a big park in, just outside of Sydney. So getting 16,000 Americans together and putting them together and having mass, which was really well done, I might add, that gave me a spirit of, you know, what it's like to be an American Catholic and to have mass that was, you know, very typically American with, you know, praise and worship music and a great homily that really spoke to the experience I think that a lot of young people have in America. When I contrast that with other people, their faith might be a more simpler faith, like they're not concerned with, you know, some issues that maybe we are here in the United States. But their faith at the same time is so intimately wrapped up with every moment that they live, that maybe, you know, that they are not distracted from God, that they're more intimately in contact with Him.
This is Voices of Our World, a weekly program dedicated to the issues of human rights, poverty, and social justice. Visit our website at voicesofourworld.org to learn more about Voices of Our World and Mary Knoll. For those in the New York State region, Mary Knoll is having their own Mary Knoll Youth Day 2008 on September 20th to build on the success of World Youth Day 2008. Please go to livesofservice.org for more details. And now back to our interview with Mike Hayes, managing editor of the online magazine BustedHalo.com and author of a fascinating new book titled Googling God. You're listening to Voices of Our World.
Talk a little bit about how Busted Halo began, about maybe what the purpose of it is, and what you think maybe are some of the most prominent and important features of the site.
Sure. Busted Halo began in sort of late 2000, 2001, around there. And we were establishing an office for people in their 20s and 30s, a ministry office for people in their 20s and 30s. And we were told that they wanted us to do a retreat ministry, which we still do. In New York and Boston and soon to be in Berkeley, and then also to do something on the internet. That was literally the words that they used. And we decided to create an internet magazine where we said that because young people have all these distractions in their lives, we didn't want to be just one more distraction, I think. I think we wanted to give people a little bit more, something a little bit more to chew on. But at the same time, we also knew that they are so inundated with media that we had to make things short, quick, to the point. So the two things that we did was we started this internet magazine, one news story a day. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And those come from the perspective of where is God in everyday life? You know, how is God wrapped up in relationships? We have a feature called Pure Sex, Pure Love that talks about relationships that a social scientist writes for us and talks about all the issues that people might be facing in their dating life, in their young married life, if they're married, you know, how to go through, you know, what going through marriage preparation was like for her when she got married, things along those lines. But also facing some of the real issues about dating as a Catholic and sex as a Catholic. And that's probably our most popular feature.
It sounds like you're really, it's very inclusive in that you're seeing faith in all the aspects of life, as opposed to seeing it as one aspect of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Like God, you know, sort of like St. Ignatius' idea of God in all things, that you know, we have to see God in everything that we do.
One of the strengths of the internet in general is that it allows people to find things on their own. And I guess youth need to have that freedom to learn on their own as opposed to having something that's told to them or demanded of them. And so to go to a site and have their questions answered almost empowers them to think of faith as an active part of their life as opposed to something that happens on Sundays.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that what happens most of the time is that the anonymity of the internet works really well for us. Uh-huh. That a lot of people, I think, are afraid just to walk up to a priest or to someone who has a theology degree that they know and ask them a question that they think might be a stupid question, you know, or maybe they might have gone up to somebody and asked them a question and they were chastised for it. So the anonymity of the internet really works well for us because we don't know who they are. They kind of know who we are, but not really. And they can send us an email or they can call our voicemail line for our podcast or whatever it is that whatever way they'd like to interact with us, they're free to do so. So it's working out pretty well for us.
Well, you mentioned earlier the magic phrase of Googling God, which is a title of a new book that you have written. Congratulations, first and foremost.
Thank you.
So what happens when you Google God?
You get a lot of things, and most of it not accurate. My friend Googled Jesus one time in sort of the early phases of MySpace, and she got a guy named Jesus' MySpace page, which I just think is really funny.
Talk about branding.
Yeah, I mean, apparently Jesus likes cuddling on warm nights on the beach and, you know, taking long sunset walks. And Radiohead, right? But anyway, with that in mind, if you're not on the internet, you don't exist. Because that's where young people are, that's where they're doing the searching. And at the same time, even younger people, when you couple this sort of age of instant gratification with all of the hallmarks of people who are in their 20s. Think of all the things that they've gone through in their life at this point. When they were in high school, the big event, Columbine High School, the shooting there. You have the experience of 9/11, the experience of immigration for many people in a precarious situation. Yeah. Katrina, the Asian tsunami, and now recently Virginia Tech. You could start the cycle all over again. I mean, the world is a precarious place. And so they're looking for things that have meaning, that have a little bit of backbone to it, that makes the world make sense to them in a world that's often gone mad. And the internet is the place they're looking to find those answers. And if we're not there, we're not making sense to them. And, you know, and they're coming to us for some kind of tradition. And Catholicism has a great advantage in that it has a 2,000-year tradition, and it makes sense to a lot of people. And if they really delve right into sort of the richness of that, it helps them make sense of their lives.
I think some of our listeners today would be well-served to check out the site and see, in many ways, how God and the internet and this complicated world we live in can actually coexist.
And you know, Mary Knoll and the Paulists do one thing that we mentioned before, that we do one thing really well together, is we do what Jesus did. You know, Jesus used the technology of his day. It happened to be storytelling.
Yes.
But, you know, we've just extended that. I mean, St. Paul was a letter writer. Isaac Hecker, who the Paulist founder was one of the first Catholic publishers, or the first Catholic publisher. Mary Knoll, the first people to do photojournalism in that realm. And we're just extending that today.
Well, thank you so much.
No problem.
Mike Hayes.
Whatever your religion, do you remember the first time you put your faith into an action that helped others? Tell us about it. On this or any topic, get radioactive and tell us what you think. Email us at radio@maryknoll.org. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org. Click on Contact Us. You can call us at 877-MARYKNOLL, MARYKNOLL. Or dial 877-627-9566. You're listening to Voices of Our World.